This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. My name is Cheryl Langdon-Orr, and today is the 31st meeting of the Workstream 2 Support Organisation and Advisory Committee Accountability Subgroup meeting. It's running at 0500 UTC on the 31st of August 2017. I am happy to count the co-rapporteurs, thank you, Caboose, as we have done in other meetings at this point in time. But I would like to note that we do have a few apologies in today, including from Steve and myself, co-chair, Fazane. She may be able to join us later, but at this stage we will need to note her as an apology. And a number of other apologies have also gone through to the list, including one, I believe, just received now from Greg. So with that, welcome to all of those of you who have been able to make today's call. And if you would be so kind as to let us know if you are only on audio and if you are not in the Adobe Connect room, now please. Not hearing anybody make themselves known, we will take the roll call from the Adobe Connect room, and hopefully in the next couple of minutes some more members will join. It's time in our agenda now for another piece of administrivia, and that is to ask if anybody has a update to their statements of interest. Not hearing anybody or noting anything in the Adobe Connect room, I will now ask all of you to remember to mute your microphones, as I certainly will as soon as I stop talking, whilst I have my a very effective assistant, one 27-month-old granddaughter helping me here today, so that we don't get background noise in if we can avoid it. And if you can state your names when you are given the floor and start an intervention, this is most helpful for our captioners and for the record. So with that, I am going to ask if Steve would like to briefly bring us up to speed on what we've done, which is in fact what he and Fazane have done and noted to the list recently, between this and our last call. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Steve Del Bianco. I wanted to let you know that in the two documents we circulated were links to the Google Docs for the comment responses and our very latest draft report. We also included an attachment, which is a red line between the March plenary report and the currently updated draft report. In the comment response document, we probably don't need to bring it up and go through it. This is the sheet containing our response. Farzaneh and I had to make only a few updates that were discussed on our last call. And those updates mostly reflected responding to the board's discussion on vertical accountability, some wording choices that we were discussed a week ago, where Alan provided a good deal of Alan Greenberg provided some guidance that we incorporated. And I don't think we need to go back through that in detail. I think our comment response document is sound enough that when we do publish our updated CCWG plenary draft, we'll be able to attach the comment responses, and those should suffice. The challenge we faced was which of the comment responses, and there were over 30 of them, needed to be incorporated into the document itself. Now, many of the times we were simply acknowledged there was support for something. We didn't have to do anything for those. There were a few cases where we simply disagreed and explained why we didn't need to do any updates for those. But there were a dozen instances where we agreed to update the report, such as the way we clarified certain things to resolve discrepancies in the way we discussed closed and open meetings, for example. So Farzi and I went through the plenary draft from March and updated it in many, many places. And perhaps it's easiest, Cheryl, to have staff bring up the redline PDF file as a way to go through that document for a first read. Thank you, Yvette. So this document is up, and there's obviously nothing to discuss with regard to the table of contents. That's going to change as a result of updating that. All right, so Cheryl, does it make sense then to go through the changes page at a time? Is that your goal?
I think so, Steve. Cheryl, for the record, noting, of course, that as I'm about to in the chat, that the majority of these changes are, as you indicated, only formatting, but if we scan through and make sure we capture any deletions and additional text as we go through it, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. So since we're on page one, it takes page one and two lines of page two to get through the executive summary. And many of our colleagues will read the executive summary and perhaps nothing more. So it's important that we have the right words in here. And I think that the key changes on this one is to reach into that third paragraph of the executive summary where we begin to change the nomenclature from best practices to good practices. We changed it everywhere. We tried to clarify as much as we could that good practices are not by any means required of each ACSO and group, nor are they reflected in the bylaw. Nor are the ATRG, the Accountability Transparency Review Teams, going to examine whether ACs and SOs implemented them. So instead, we said there in the third paragraph that we do recommend that the operational standards, which ICANN staff is developing, for the periodic organizational reviews conducted by ICANN. Those are the every 5-year reviews where ICANN contracts with an outside party to do a review of the ACs and SOs, not the groups themselves. We said that it could include, not should include, but could include assessing good practice implementation in the ACs and SOs as part of the review. Any questions on that? And just put up your hand if you wish to intervene then. In track two then, we went to the mutually accountable roundtable, and here we return to our original recommendation that the CCWG consensus view is not to recommend mutually accountability roundtable for formal implementation. So we've taken that out. If you go to page two, we discuss track three, which is the independent review process, or IRP. We didn't really change this at all except to clarify that the ICANN Ombuds Office is able to handle, is already chartered to handle, complaints regarding whether an ACSO group acted in accord with the ICANN bylaws and the individual charter. So clarifying that while the IRP is not going to be recommended, we do note that the ombuds can accommodate accountability challenges for ACs and SOs. Great. And then we go into the discussion of mandate. No significant changes there. So we can move on to page three. And we did make a special note in here that on page three, to note that we look only at the SO and AC accountability within the scope of activities. And then we added a whole paragraph on page three as a point of clarification. This is really to satisfy the ASO, make sure that we've made it clear that they have definition and existence external to ICANN. So the accountability we're discussing here is only that occurring within the ICANN sphere of influence. This is to ensure that we do not lose the support of the ASO. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Yes, sorry to be a little late to comment. I wanted to make a general comment on the first change you talk about, Steve. I have the impression, and not just in this subgroup, and it's a general remark, that we are much less prescriptive than we were in Workstream 1 for the board. and I feel a little unbalanced of what we were asking at the Work Stream 1 and what we are asking, because we are asking for us, our own part of the organization, we are a little bit less prescriptive. I can understand why, but I just wanted to raise that issue. And the second point, it's just talking about, I have always also trouble with when we talk about ISO. And I, once again, I can understand the reaction, but ISO it's within ICANN, NRO it's outside of ICANN. And I know that ISO it's also part of designed to be chosen by NRO, but I really think that it was my problem since long time. When we talk about one, very often people take one name for the other. But from my point of view, ISO it's one of the organizations within ICANN, and NRO it's outside of ICANN. I really would like to see that taken into account, and maybe we need to have a discussion with ISO, because the risk at the end of the day is that every part of ICANN is outside of ICANN and there is no more ICANN. Thank you. That's all for the moment. But thank you very much for the hard work you have done, Steve and Farley.
Thank you, Sebastian. Let me take the second point first. With respect to the ASO, I do think they're unique in that the address supporting organization, or NRO, is probably the only one of the chartered organizations in ICANN that existed before the ICANN bylaws existed. And therefore, the ASO does have a distinction. And I realize that there's some distinction between the ASO and the NRO, but this is not something that affects our obligation, our recommendations. We put it in our report, Sebastian, so that the ASO would not feel that we were trying to encroach upon the activities of the NRO outside of ICANN. And it's really just a point of clarification there on page 3. And since they were asking for it in one of the other Workstream 2 reports, we were keen to note that early and make the change before we had to face an objection from them. I don't believe that it diminishes our recommendations in any way to make this clarification, so I don't see any concern with having it in there. Your other point was definitely valid. We are not holding the communities themselves to a similar accountability that we imposed upon the board. If the board of a nonprofit corporation is supposed to be accountable to its members, and in ICANN's case, for over a dozen years, they were not. They explicitly carved out any accountability to the community. As part of this transition, we put it back. But we didn't turn ICANN into a full-blown membership organization. We came up with a hybrid structure, and you were instrumental in doing that. In Workstream 2, we also examined whether we could increase the accountability of the underlying ACs and SOs, and by golly, we have. We have increased it, but there is no obligation to say that we had to make each AC and SO and subgroup equally accountable to each other or to others on the outside, because we simply had done so with the corporation itself. So it is an unequal standard of accountability, and that is by design. So, Sebastian, I'll go back to you for a second before Caboose. I tried to be responsive to your comment, but do you believe there are further changes needed in the document?
Thank you, Steve. Sebastian Bachelet speaking. No, thank you. I think your answer it's useful, and I hope that my comment was also. Thank you.
It was. Thank you. Caboose.
Yes, after Sebastian's agreed with your explanation, I have no further comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. We were on page 3, so we can now go to page 4. Page 4 is where we lay out track 1. And I think that the most important changes in track 1 occur in the table itself, where we laid it all out. But we did also update on page 5. We updated the mechanisms for challenging decisions. We talked about a link where they can be consulted, unwritten policies, and we went on to, let's see, so I think we go all the way to the table, and the table begins, the good practices table begins on page 6. So this is the place where we summarize all the good practices, and you'll see we added 2 under accountability. The 2 we added under accountability were that the empowered community decisional participants have to publicly disclose their decision. They submit to the empowered community. And that publication should include a description of processes followed to reach the decision. This was in response to public comments. Number 7, on page 6, is pursuant to the board's recommendation. Any links to the SONAC policies, procedures, and documented practices should be available from ICANN's website. So we made those 2 additions, and then we modified number 5, which had said annual report. And the word annual report gave pause to some groups that it was inordinate amount of effort. So we just said that each year groups should publish a brief report. And this is, we didn't back off of the need to do a report every year, but we tried not to make it seem as daunting as an annual report. Are there any questions or comments on the changes we've done to the accountability good practice? Fantastic. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Yeah, sorry, it's just thank you, Steve. Sebastian Bachelet speaking. Just very short. We will have to check at the end of the work of each work stream 2 when we will pull all the report of the subgroup if we are here too much demanding on publishing things by each SONAC, because I don't want to turn ICANN more than it's already in a machine to publish a report on what we are doing and not taking time on doing policy and evolution of the DNS and IP addresses. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. That's a good point, because we're only looking at our own recommendations here. But it's possible that the other 8 Workstream 2 teams would also have a cumulative number of new obligations on the ACs and SOs that taken together would cause an adverse reaction from the ACs and SOs that chartered all of Workstream 2. If that happens, we'll all have to go back to the drawing board and trim our ambitions a bit. Nothing we could do about that here, right? So we need to proceed with what we think public comments reflected. Under transparency, what did we do here? I clarified in response to a public comment on transparency number 4 that the exemplary reasons to close a meeting are also exemplary reasons to cover what is confidential topics. So you'll see the word confidential topics. So we're making it clear that that's covering that list of exemplary reasons, and they carry over right into the next page. And then we added or clarified significantly open versus closed meetings and what records are. And Caboose, you assisted us in trying to clarify a definition for records, that records included notes, meetings, recordings, transcripts, and chat as applicable. We're not saying everybody has to do that for every meeting, but as applicable. We said that records of open meetings should be made publicly available, and records of closed meetings should be available to members. Oh, but they may be publicly available, and that's at the discretion of the AC and SO. So I think we've cleared up all the confusion that the registry constituency and others identified on open versus closed meetings. The next one is participation. In participation, we added with a bracket on it what Farzi and at least three others on the last call, or two others on the last call, wanted to do, which is to have a good practice on term limits for officers. So if you look at number four under participation, it says an ACSO group that elects its officers should consider term limits. I noted in brackets this is not a consensus item, so it should be discussed with all of CCWG. And Farzi and I went back and forth about how to represent this in the report. I realize we don't have a consensus on this, but I want to be as respectful as we can be to the minority of members who think the term limits are a good recommendation. Are there any comments about how that's presented? Seeing none, I'll go to number six under participation, where we added one item here to say that if ICANN were to expand the list of languages that it supports, then this support should be made available to SOAC and groups. The point there is whatever languages ICANN will make resources available to do translations, those resources should be made available but not forced upon the SOACs and groups. This was in response to a public comment about more language support in translation. Great. Almost done. Outreach. We didn't make any significant changes to outreach. And updates to annual procedures, no updates at all. So on page 8, we added quite a bit of clarification. I think that Alan Greenberg called this a caveat, where we caveat the fact that good practices are not mandated and that the implementation of good practices is at the discretion of the ACSOs and groups. We also went into some detail to describe, with respect to Workstream 2, where the reviews are done, and that not the ATRT, but rather the organizational reviews will be the opportunity to assess whether ACs and SOs and groups have implemented good practices. Are there any questions or changes on page 8? Fantastic. Thank you all. I guess we can go straight to page 9. We have no material changes to 9. And then, as you know, there's a whole series of pages where we simply document what came back in the review of each underlying group. And you'll notice at the end of, say, the accountability section, Farzi and I have copied from the table that we just went through. We made sure that the end of each section matches what we described in the summary table. And that is why you'll see changes on, for instance, page 15 on recommendations on accountability. But it's changes that are completely consistent with the ones we've already discussed in the summary table. The reason for this is that if someone were to read just the section of a report on accountability or the section on transparency, they would be able to see the recommendations we made on those two. And they're identical to the recommendations we summarized in the table on page 8. All right, that means we can scroll very quickly to track 2. Because that's the next place we would see any changes that haven't already been discussed. Track 2 is all the way down on page 34, indicating only 3 more pages to talk about here at tonight's call. So on 34 was track 2, the Mutual Accountability Roundtable, and our change with respect to that appears on our conclusion and recommendation. We note that the SO and AC chairs already have a standing email list and conference call. They can convene calls at any point. And that we note, I think for completion, that while a small minority of CCWG participants prefers a formal public discussion. The CCWG consensus view is not to recommend the Mutual Accountability Roundtable for formal implementation. Any questions on that? We covered this quite a long time ago. Fantastic. We'll go all the way to page 35, which is track 3. Track 3 was whether the independent review process should be applied to BSOs and AC activities. On this one, we haven't made any significant change to clarify that the Ombuds Office has within its charter and capabilities that it can respond to complaints by individuals. If an SO and AC or group failed to follow its procedures or violated ICANN's bylaws, in the way in which it came to a decision or recommendation. That covers all the way through page 35, and then on page 36, all we have there is the list of people who participated in this group. So, Cheryl, this concludes the first, I guess, read-through of our updated report to reflect the public comments, and I'd be glad to know whether there are anything from the public comment response that calls for further edits to the document. Back to you.
Thank you, Steve. Cheryl Langdonor here. And I must say I am absolutely delighted that we've got through our initial reading here today. Our plan, of course, is that we will now accept or resolve all of those deletions, etc., so a non-red line document will be able to go out to the list between this meeting and our meeting still scheduled for next week. We will pick up those points where organisation should be attributed to both the GNSO and the CCNSO, where it's currently saying committee. I'm quite sure Steve will go through that with a fine-tooth comb, otherwise his GNSO compatriots will be particularly unimpressed. And we will hopefully get any sort of commentary as a base of our first reading and cleaned up document between now and our following call next week. Now, next week's call, we will be officially doing the second read-through on this as a report to go along with the public comment documents. We may as well hand in both pieces of our assignment, I guess, at the same time. But what we'll be doing is passing on this report for consideration by the plenary in good time for the September plenary meeting. And then at the September plenary meeting, that will constitute a reading of this final report from our work group. I think it's important that we do make sure people have plenty of time to look over these words quite carefully. And so getting the clean document out, we will be taking as an action item that will happen as soon as practical. But with the speed that Steve tidies up these things under normal circumstances, I'm quite sure it'll be almost light speed by the time it hits the list. We then, at next week's call, will also be just making sure that the whole of the work team is work track is very clear on what the next steps are. Of course, it is up to the full CCWG to finally determine if any of the changes in our report are significant or not. Obviously, we don't believe they are. And, of course, the CCWG may make suggestions and send the report back to us for some changes to be wrought. But, again, I have a relatively high degree of confidence, along with Stephen Sarsenay, that that will not be the case. But we won't know until we get there. That should keep us on perfectly good track for the timeline that is keeping us in the single public comment process, and we don't believe that we will be needing to be subjected to a second public comment at all. So with that, I would like to now recognise Cavus and see if he has any points that he'd like to make on what was our covering of then agenda item 4, the next steps and standing items. Over to you, Cavus.
Yes, I have a general question which may be mostly related to the plenary, but at least on the work of this group, I am not quite clear the general process of the situation. In Worker Stream 1, the community provided recommendations. This recommendation was turned to bylaw and so on and so forth. Here, we don't have that. We make recommendation. I understood and I still continue to understand that these are the recommendation from Worker Stream 2 to the SO and ACs. So we should see how it would be appear finally. Who will take care of that? CCWG would have, with respect to SOAC accountability, saying that this has been worked out and the series of recommendations to SOAC are tabled below. Is that the case, or recommendation has other meaning? Because connotations of recommendation in Worker Stream 1 and Worker Stream 2 are not exactly the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. It's Cheryl Langdon, all for the record here. And let's see, have a go at this as well. But from my, I thought, fairly clear understanding of what we have always been terming our recommendations in our final report, in other words, the work product of our particular work track, all of our recommendations and our final reporting go to the plenary, and it is the CCWG full group, the complete plenary, that decides if our work is accepted as writ or requires modification. If it is accepted as writ, then it becomes an integral part of the CCWG plenary's final report, a compendium, if you would like to consider it that way, of each of the 8 work tracks, work products. That compendium itself will go out to public comment and then be subject to a final agreement or otherwise from each of the chartering organisations of the CCWG. Steve, have I missed anything?
I don't think so, Cheryl. We took our charter for Workstream 2 from the transitional bylaw. And if you remember, the mandate section of our report quotes in detail the Workstream 1 final recommendations and the ICANN transitional bylaws, so that the scope of what we were supposed to look at is explicitly reflected. That's why we have 3 tracks, because there were 3 aspects of accountability that we were supposed to look at according to the bylaws. So, Cavus, it's possible that Cheryl and I are both failing to answer the core of your question, and if that's the case, please clarify one more time and we'll try again.
Go ahead, Cavus. Go ahead.
Yes, I have no difficulty in what you said. Perhaps I was not properly understood, or I did not explain myself clearly. Sorry. I understand that the compendium of the Worker Stream 2 would contain recommendations. This recommendation goes to SO and AC, and after that become recommendation. So these are the recommendations to the SOAC once it's approved by SOAC. But then we go to the detail. A recommendation for SOAC 1, I saw somewhere. Do you have any mechanism to maintain this and that. So I don't understand. It is not a recommendation. Do you have a mechanism? It is a question. So I think it's a mix up between the nature of the question and the recommendation. Recommendation should be that your SOAC is expected to have a mechanism in order to maintain the ways and means how to challenge elections and so on and so forth, but not asking a question, do you have any mechanism? If it comes to one SOAC, well, it says, no, we don't have that. So what do you do? I don't think that the nature is not properly mentioned. I don't want to go back to anything, but I want to discuss it somewhere, either at the end of this group or in the plenary, how we understand that at the end. Thank you.
Okay, so Caruso, it's Sherling, and all for the record again. I believe that your concern is with the aspects of our report, our work track report, which covers off the input we got when we did our data capture, our assessment of what self-reporting mechanisms exist from each of the ACs and the SOs. That is simply a statement of fact. It is not a set of recommendations. It is a set of observations. You are absolutely correct. It was a specific part of our initial reporting to the plenary and the wider community. And in what form it may take, it may be in the formatting of the final compendium. That part of our report may in fact end up to be an appendix or a reference. The CCWG plenary, I would think, will be creating specific text which will link the otherwise very disparate pieces of work from the eight groups together in some coherent way. And I would think that the type of text you're proposing is exactly the sort of thing that the plenary would be considering in its drafting of any text to go in with its compendium final report. Does that help? If you're speaking, we're not hearing. I hope that does help. It's Cheryl Langdon off the record again. But basically, this, what I suspect what you are asking is, in fact, much more of the business of the final editorial team of the CCWG, and certainly not of any one of our component part work tracks. Okay. Is there any other comments from anyone? And Steve, if you would like to just check that. Sorry, I'm talking about Stephen Deerhawk. If you'd like to check that when our clean document comes out, that we have not overlooked one of the errors in saying committee when it is organisation, that would be a very, very handy piece of cross-checking for us. Caboose, back to you.
Yes, sure. What you said, I fully agree, provided that in our report, in covering letter, we raise that question or we mention that or we reflect what you said, that it is the not authority, it is the duty of the plenary to finalize this situation, that how we will appear at the final stage. I have no problem with what they said, but just a reminder, a flag to the plenary that they need to do something. Thank you.
I'm sure you'll, Cheryl, for the record, I'm sure you'll be bringing that up to the plenary yourself, of course, Caboose. And I don't believe that we were planning on making any form of covering letter to go with this document. This is the reworking of our already accepted, published and public commented upon report. The changes have been wrought upon it based primarily on the discussions from the public comments received. And other than that, I certainly I haven't spoken to 509 Steve about this, but I hadn't planned on any particular drafting effort to do any sort of cover or explanatory note. But we will discuss that further next week. We'll make sure we have that on our agenda for discussion. Your hand still raised, Cavus. Go ahead.
You asked me to comment? Yes. I agree with you. I am not seeking to have a covering letter, but I wish to suggest that somewhere in the document it might be appropriate to add something at the end, general consideration or general note or note, and mentioning what I said and what you replied, which is quite acceptable. So we don't expect to have a new document. Just at the end of the document, somewhere we have a note or general note or general concentration or next step or something, drawing the attention of the plenary to any possible and potential further action that they need to take. Because I believe that plenary is if you don't give them any hint, they don't take it up. That is the situation. I have worked for that for many things. You can't expect more from the plenary unless we at least raise the flag. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Sheriff Langdonor for the record, and I think the final comment on this particular matter. And Steve and Fazanay will be presenting this report to the plenary, and I'm sure that we will make sure, based on our notes from today's meeting, that we raise those matters on behalf of this group. I don't think it needs to be a text insert in this report. I think to start putting that sort of text in this report would in fact start to be a substantive change to the report. So we will have to trust ourselves that as all active, efficient and effective members of the plenary, we'll raise it and make sure it's fully and frankly discussed at the time. So we'll make sure that the plenary doesn't miss this particular issue. With that, I'd like to note the time as the last 15 minutes of our scheduled call. Stephen, I will ask if Steve Del Bianco will be so kind to just send you a link to whichever is the cleanest doc he has put together at this stage. So we'll take that as an action item. Steve, if you don't mind owning that, that would be greatly appreciated. And with that, I just want to remind you all about the timing of next week's call, which will be on Thursday the 14th at 1900 UTC. Thank each and every one of you who've been available to join us at this unfriendly for most people who are not in the Asia-Pacific region's time zones. This is one of those times where it's the perfect time for those of us in APAC or some parts of APAC, but not the rest of the world. So we do appreciate the extra efforts that so many of you have made to join us today. We will get the cleaned-up version of this out to the list as soon as practical. We look forward to more final polishing, if indeed any of it needs to be more polished, on the list between now and next week's call. And at next week's call, we will be doing our final read and transmitting the document via staff to the plenary co-chairs for their inclusion in the agenda for the end of September's meeting, which I believe, if memory serves, is September the 27th. Time escapes me at this point, but we will have plenty of time and invitations sent out to that. So with that, I want to thank the captioning team again. It makes a huge difference to have your real-time record, not only for those of us who find it easy to read on screen sometimes, but also to have it so promptly out for both action items to be taken from and for the edification of those who are not able to join our calls at all times of day and night. Thank our fabulous staff. And thank each and every one of you for the contributions you've made to date. We are tracking well, and we are, I think, going to hit all our major milestones. And that's absolutely a credit to each and every one of you, but particularly to my fellow co-rapporteurs. Steve and Faz and I have done an enormous amount of editing on these documents, and our thanks need to go out to them in particular. We'll do that again next week in a plenary. Caboose, in the chat, you want to make sure the following, and I'm reading it to the record so that you may be able to rest assured that I am noting it, that we are confirming that we will raise the point you made, and I believe you mean Steve and I, agreed to the plenary. I've read it to the record. It's in the record. It's in the transcript. It's in the notes. And it's in our intentions to do so. Other than that, I'm not sure what else I can possibly do to assure you. So with that, thank you, each and every one of you. And with about 10 minutes towards the top of the hour, goodbye, and I hope you all have a good rest of day or evening. We can stop the recording now. Thank you, staff, and bye for now.